This is Jerry Howell, found in Listener 074. I was here at the beginning. I know things. You're listening to Still Talking with Rob and Josh.
Rob Spiewak.
Josh Spiewak.
Still Talking!
You know, I was looking at the opening animation. By the way, beautiful job.
Yes.
But as I've just finished watching Coyote versus Acme for the second time, and as my wife literally said to me, you know, everything you watch on TV you would have watched when you were 12. She said, have not matured. And I said, well, I guess you're right. There's a problem. They characterize the coyote so well in that movie, but there's a problem with our animation. It looks like in many of the scenes that I'm frustrated with you.
Yeah,
it does. When in fact, it really should be the other way around.
No,
because
does.
I think I frustrate you more than you frustrate me.
It does. It for some reason it has me as like panic and spinning around and stuff.
Yeah,
and you're the frustrated like calm one.
Exactly. That's not the way it goes.
No. But I'm.
But I am wearing a non-logoed WVU hoodie. I do like that.
Yeah, and I'm in a an Orioles shirt.
But so it's sort of like a non-logoed Orioles. I mean, it's like one you could sell without any logo issues, right?
Well, I think it's got the Orioles logo. I think it's got like this, one of their City Connect bees or something, kind of.
Or just a different bird. Or the how did you feel about in the 70s, like the cartoon bird, the classic cartoon Oriole bird?
I like most of the logos they've done with. Yeah,
I think that when they switched to the realistic like profile of the actual bird standing, I thought that looked how would we say back then? It looked tough. It was a tougher look.
Yeah, I think it's a classic look now, a classy look.
Yeah,
so I like it. They are back to the cartoon bird now, which was it's fine.
Yeah, I also don't care for the Padres when they actually show like a monk swinging a bat. I think that's stupid.
For the Padres. Little cartoon guy reminds me too much of like the Flintstones or something.
Exactly. And is it? I didn't expect to come in and start talking sports with you.
No.
I guess I'm not talking
mascots.
Sports. We're just talking logo mascots. I can do. I'm well versed in mascots. So this is Still Talking. This is exciting because although it's would you call it a soft launch?
Yeah. But this is our official number one.
This is 001. Still Talking 001. And thank you, everyone, for joining us. We got people in the chat. We're good to go. But mostly, our founders, which we only talked about a week ago today. That's when we really debuted it.
It's unbelievable, yes.
It's staggering. It's really amazing that I clicked before we opened up the show today. 107 folks. And I love that you've numbered them. 107 folks have signed up to be founders, and that is such an enthusiastic and encouraging thing because it means you're into what we're doing as much as we are. So thank
you. Rob, I believe I told you when we launched this, I said, if we can get 100 listeners in the first month, that means we're really onto something.
And this is not just listeners. These are people that are invested, literally invested.
Yeah.
They are founders. And what blows my mind, I there's a lot of names I see. And the people that I knew, I tried to reach out and thank personally because it's a big deal. But there are so many names among the 107 that even as a guy that is mentally addicted to figuring out who's who, I don't know their names.
No.
And I don't know if we're Facebook friends or if they're TMOS fans or what the deal is, but the fact that there's all this new blood that's investing is very thrilling.
I am so excited about our founders. I love, yes, we gave them numbers because it's something to be proud of. You should be proud. We started this show with Jerry, and he's number 74.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep sending in that audio. We already got a bunch of you guys sending it in. Keep sending that in. You got an email about it. Right now there are three episodes up there for you for founders.
Yeah.
With founder episodes.
We got, how did we get here with you? How did you get here with me? And then one that I'm particularly proud of, which is our Declaration of Principles episode. We'll also put some of that stuff online, but we want you to know where our head is at as we start the program. But again, one of my thrilling parts of the day is Carrie comes home and Robert comes home and I'm, of course, already home. But we're all seated together in the living room. We talk about our day and they've got amazing stories about special ed kids that are making huge breakthroughs and parents and stuff like that. There was a staff meeting yesterday where the principal actually spotlighted Robert for saying that, you know, for a guy who's been teaching 2 weeks, his classroom is running smooth as silk and he's faced a lot of challenges and they just spot. And I mean, my chest is bursting with pride because
awesome.
I blink and I remember this as a little kid and now he's actually running a classroom. So they all talk about all the stuff they do. All I've got is to tell them how many founders we've got.
No, that's good.
But I said to Robert, I said, we've got 100. Last night it was 104, 103, I think it was. And I said, we've got 103 founders, and they're all numbered. And he said, why? I said, because Josh said we could do lotteries. He said, fire.
I did say maybe we, I did. I still, my favorite idea is make people line up by their listener number.
I like that.
But
when we do the still talking flight to somewhere, like I don't know where we go, like maybe Iceland, and everyone has to sit.
No, but it's something. Number. The number is so you can brag in the future.
Exactly.
Because hopefully there'll be a lot more listeners than 107, and you want to be in those top 107s. You were there from the beginning before we even launched episode one.
In my fantasy, we will eventually get to a point where we will be able to take live calls if we need to. We're not going to rely on it, but we can do it. And it will recall the days of the Ron and Fez show when they would take a call and I'd say like, hey, it's Rob Spiewak, big ass listener number 78. And then they go,
same idea.
Hoo-ah! Exactly. Yeah, but you know, it's so cool. Yes. I love it. I like,
love it.
Okay.
So if you want to be a founder, you can go to stilltalkingpodcast.com.
Right. And it's $150 to be a founding member,
which includes a year of premium shows, a t-shirt, a pin, and then stickers, and currently 3 episodes that are only for founders with at least one more. We've promised 4, but I'm pretty sure we're going to end up doing more than 4 for
this
founders.
This is a prototype of the pin.
Yes.
So it looks something like that.
Yeah, except it's going to be enamel and say that you are a founding listener.
Exactly. I didn't want to pony up the money, so I just got a generic plastic pin.
Well, those were test pins.
Test pins. It's a thrilling thing, and know that if you are a founding member, you do literally get everything and more.
Yeah.
So if you are into what we're doing, please jump aboard.
Oh, and you are a founder forever.
Oh, you can't be taken away. What if you get canceled?
When founding memberships closes, we're still going to do stuff for founders.
What if someone, I'm not even going to say a number or a name, but they come out and they say, I love Speedy Gonzales cartoons. Can they be canceled and removed from the wall? The founder's wall?
No, you know what? No, because I look forward to our first founder in prison.
Well, you know what? I imagine that in prison we'd be quite popular.
Spread the word, founder.
And I mean the show, not if we were actually in prison.
That too.
But I think we'd be very popular in prison.
Either way.
Too. We're not bad looking. Okay, so speaking of this, Still Talking is actually under the umbrella of The Podcaster's Warehouse, which is a Josh Sroka-founded company that he's allowed me to come along for on the ride. And we have clients, and we do work, and it's fun because when I quit a previous podcasting company job, I wasn't having any fun at all. And this is great. I think right now I'm having the most fun working with Tony Perkins and Gary Stein with You Gotta Be Kidding Me. It's a blast.
Well, yeah, and you do a great job over there. Their show sounds great.
We focus on that. So I was thinking, you know what? So many of the big podcast companies that I thought, like Limonada is one. They have a little logo that they run either at the front or the end of the podcast.
Like an audio logo.
Yeah, like for example, if it was NBC, we go bum, 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 and you associate it with that company. So last night, Gummy Free, by the way, I just started.
There's no way.
Oh, absolutely.
You were texting me, and I'm like, he is having so much fun. He has to be on gummies.
No, I just, okay, I wrote it on Facebook. I said, guess what? Radio jingles. I love them so much. And I do.
Right.
I, as a kid, would tape jingles off the radio on cassette tape. Then I figured out I could write to the Jam Creative Productions in Dallas, Texas, and they would mail you demos back in the day on 4-inch reels of tape. I mean, not cassette, right. Not CD. And so my dad had a barely functioning reel-to-reel deck from when he was a hot rockin' 70s hi-fi guy. And so he would transfer them for me. Then the CDs happen, and then they're all online, and then there's trading communities and everything. So I'm thinking, you know what is the warehouse, the podcaster's warehouse, what logo no one has is a real jingle, like a real sung 1980s style radio jingle.
Not an AI thing, but a real.
Right, right. Like where you get seven people in a room and they sing. Now, I have some experience with them, of course, because, yes, I am being self-serving right now. For example, a jingle has two elements vocally. It can be a shout.
Rob Spiewak!
Or it could be a sing.
Rob Spiewak!
And so the best thing I was able to figure out is how to mix them up. But before we do this, I know, Josh, you were experimenting with jingles last night, too. Did I inspire that?
Yes. You inspired it. It wasn't last night, but this morning.
Sat in the hopper for a while.
This morning I was doing some show prep, and I was like, one thing we've talked about is on Still Talking is we're not doing segments. We're not doing stuff like that. But we want reoccurring bits. And one of those is we like to talk about whatever we're watching on TV. Yeah.
What you're movies, watching.
What you're watching. So I was like, well, I have a new show I started last night. We might get to that. So I said, ChatGPT, make me a what you watching jingle.
Oh, no.
And then I was like, these are so bad. We will have to work on a new jingle.
This is going to be magical.
Would you like to hear bad AI jingle?
More than anything. Go.
What are you watching?
That's not even a jingle. That's like not a stager. And even as a stager, so it sucks.
I said, ChatGPT, that sucks. It's not a jingle. Make it sound like you're on like a hot rock talk station.
Right. Exactly. Good.
What are you watching?
And it went the wrong way.
That's really bad.
That's like an NPR.
I mean, that is.
What are you watching?
Really bad.
They are so bad that I was like, yep, AI can't do jingles yet.
That's thrillingly bad.
I know.
It's so bad it almost makes me want to use it.
I know.
In an ironic way. But I mean, the thing is that you had to use a computer and commands to do that, when in fact,
my
Dude
thing,
Walker and one sound effect would be better than that.
Well, my favorite thing about it is that it corrected the grammar.
What are you watching?
That's my least favorite thing.
No, I like that. I asked for what you're watching, and it made, what are you watching?
What are you watching? It's like when, this is an old reference, but when Pat Boone would cover, race records, they called them in the 50s. So, like, Fats Domino came out with Ain't That a Shame. And then to make it palatable to white audiences, Pat Boone sang, like, Isn't that a shame? And he wouldn't say ain't. So, I mean, they're correcting. Now, you see, the beautiful thing about jingles is jingles are beautiful things. The beautiful thing about jingles is they can take something stupid and make it great. For example, I'm sure you all remember the Seinfeld episode when Kramer got one line. I believe it was in a Woody Allen movie. And he had this line, but a friend of mine paid for this jingle.
These pretzels are making me thirsty.
I've never known
where. How do you not love that?
No, it's great. I didn't know where that came from. So now knowing that someone made it and sent it to you is great. I know the line from Seinfeld.
I just never knew
the jingle.
Okay, so a little bit of a background on jingles is when you want them in the old days or even now that you just download them, they'll send you a demo. And a demo will take the original package and show you what you can do with it. Kiss FM was a great station in Los Angeles. I imagine it still is.
I think it's still the premier rock station.
But in the 1980s, they were also groundbreaking in their production sound to a point that WAVA over on this coast in Washington, D.C., copied their sound, copied their jingles, copied their presentation. This is not new. In the 60s, WPGC locally copied WABC in New York because it's a winning formula.
You're out of market. You're going to copy.
Exactly.
It happens all over the place.
Is anyone still listening? Anyway, here is a little bit of the demo if you want to check out the Hot Kiss jingle package, one of my all-time favorites.
Hot Kiss!
Hot Kiss FM.
too.
There's the jingles.
And so they just go through, and I think there's like 18 cuts of all the
but
stuff
you can
do. But
those are real jingles, not this AI crap.
Yeah, so, and for example, anyone who listened in the 80s will remember this is the top of the hour. You'd play this, you know, after your legal ID going into the next record. And it's called the Top Hour ID for Hot Kiss. And, of course, we feature Hot Hits and all your favorite songs.
Hot Hits, Kiss FM.
But we can't use that because we don't need the big lip up front. I thought about this one because it's a particular favorite.
Hot Hits all summer long on Kiss FM.
And I said, you know, I can fit in the podcaster's warehouse, but the .com is what was throwing me. It was so many syllables in produced by the podcasterswarehouse.com. And so I went through and went through and went through. And this is the one that I think is going to work for us. Please forgive me because I'm going to have to sing it. And we talked about different tags on this.
Wait, so you're about to sing a jingle for us?
Sort of, yeah. I mean, just as a demo. And I, you know what? They make you do this when you commission a jingle because they want to know exactly what you want.
Okay.
So the last part of this is what's, you know, up for argument. But imagine this as a jingle.
102.7 Hot Hits, Kiss FM.
That's one, just so you know how it starts. We go.
Okay.
The podcasterswarehouse.com. We work here.
I like, we work here. Is that what you said?
Well, we have.
We work here.
We have other ideas like we make shows. Made this.
We are real.
Made just for you. But I think what it'll be is probably this. The podcasterswarehouse.com. We build podcasts.
I like it. I also like that you've been at home singing along the jingles, trying to find something that works.
You should have seen how fast Carrie and Robert went to bed last night.
Oh,
because I had my phone to my ear going through. I said, what about the ProMod package? What about Warp Factor? What about Red Hot? All these jingle packages that I know. But I kept coming back to Hot Kiss. And I think that's because it's what I associate with radio when I started to really listen to radio.
Yeah,
but I like the sound of it.
It's because you like Rick Dees.
In the morning and in the afternoon. But yeah, so stay tuned for that. It's always fun. And I mentioned this to you, and I don't know if it means as much to you as it does to me. When they do a session now, they let you listen on the phone while they sing it in the studio.
Okay.
And what you're listening there is a 21-voice sound. It's a 7-voice group that they record 3 times.
Right.
And it's just so cool to listen to it. Anyway, that's what we're thinking
Do you
about.
Think they let you watch them record it now so you know they're not AI?
Well,
because there's AI companies out there now.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, we didn't watch. We were able to hear it. Maybe you could like zoom in now because I haven't done that since the days of the Don and Mike show I actually listened into a session.
They've always done the let you listen live.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. I'm such a nerd. I would love to fly to Dallas and watch them do a session. It would be so cool. because, I mean, anyone, you know, can sing per se, but what you've got there are 7 people that are all great singers.
Right.
You know, there's not a weak link in it.
Do you think we have 7 great singers in our founders that we can build our own?
No, well, frankly, if you'd asked me a week ago, I would say we didn't have 7 founders.
That's true.
I think we probably do, but it's the orchestration that you pay for. I mean, we could sing beautifully, but we're not going to be able to make it sound like this. Like this. The podcasterswarehouse.com. We just need to figure out the last thing. That's
you,
all.
You get me with you singing over the jingle. I like it.
So you think we should pay for a jingle and not just have me sing over?
No, I think we should have you sing over the jingles. No need to fix it. Just leave it just like that.
All right.
Mix
that would,
your vocals in.
That would definitely be gummies right there if I'm singing my own jingle. But we said in our Declaration of Principles that this show is going to be more about Josh and me and our real personalities. And yes, I'm a jingle nerd. I'm sorry that I burned up 19 minutes of your time talking about that.
I like it. I like when you go down a path like that where no one else last night was in the entire world was doing what you were doing, trying to sing along the jingles.
Well, yeah, I mean,
that's
it was
something you're doing.
It was a double dose. First, I watched Coyote versus Acme for the second time. And that was something that no one has done. And then I listened to Jingles, and not even like on a stereo, with my phone to my ear. I mean, it was really sort of lame. But if you want to check them out, jingles.com is Jam's website, and they've got all the jingles.
Yeah, feel free to sing along yourself.
Yeah, write lyrics. Exactly. Right. Like, change the station, I'm not listening, all that. So, jingles.
Yeah. Well, good. While you were doing jingles, I went to put on Coyote versus Acme.
And
I was told, no, the kids are asleep. Let's watch something else. Let's watch an adult show.
Oh, like late night adult films?
No, not late night adult show. Like a show that curses. Actually, I guess there was a little nudity, but a show that the kids would not want to watch.
Well, there was a lot of nudity in Coyote versus Acme, but it was mostly Will Forte. And of course, Porky never wears pants.
And I feel like John Cena, every movie he watches has to take something off.
Well, you know, he actually, he stays fully clothed, but this is a movie that emphasizes something I never noticed before. I don't know if it's because
cartoon
his haircut
nudity.
Is real. No, it's not cartoon nudity. I don't know if it's because his haircut is particularly high and tight in this, and the movie is a few years old anyway. His ears, John Cena's ears, are almost an issue. They it's like they're a little too small, but they stick way out. That's my takeaway.
I spent time yesterday
with
Kelly. The Orioles played an afternoon game.
And I know you watched it during the bonus show.
Yeah, you'll find out on the TMOS bonus show that I got irritated because the Orioles lost during the bonus show.
And but, Mike got irritated that you were watching a game during the bonus show while you were hosting a game show.
Yeah, little does he know all the time.
All the time, always.
But before the TMOS yesterday, I was watching the pregame and they were doing some talk and stuff, and they were interviewing the manager. And I'm sitting there with Kelly and I'm staring at him and I'm saying, this guy is an idiot. I've been saying all season he's an idiot.
This is the Orioles manager. Does he have a name?
Craig Albernez.
Wow, you know, you must hate him to have even just a slight mental block, because you live and die by the Orioles. You should have known that quickly.
Well, we call him Albie. Matt and I call him Albie, which I know is a little kid's name.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
or a DJ name, Albie D.
Yeah, true. Yeah. But we think of it, my nephew is Albie, so that we think of the same thing. But
I understand.
I've been calling him an idiot for months. I hate him. I don't like him because of my team. He's got the thickest Boston accent. And
you should be not allowed to work in Baltimore baseball if you have a Boston accent.
He's got a Boston accent.
The Red Sox are the biggest thorns in their side, right?
Yeah. And we have, and hearing him say Gunner it drives me crazy. But he just says stupid answers.
All right.
And yesterday I'm watching him and I'm telling her he's an idiot. And I just start staring and I go, how have I never noticed he's got the world's biggest ears and they're pointy? He's got elf-like ears. And once I saw that, I could not look away from his ears.
You can't look away.
So now he needs to stop wearing a baseball cap. He needs to get a beanie or something to cover the top of those ears, because I can't pay attention now.
Do you think your sweatband would work to cover ears?
My sweatband is right here. I forgot I was going to put it on during the countdown for you.
You know, while it does, I'll give you this. It looks pretty good when you're out on the softball field with all those older people. I'm not sure it's a good podcasting sweatband.
I think I came home from softball. I know we talked about this sweatband last week.
Yes. And well, it's a key to everyone cares. Josh.
Right. And if I could pull it off.
Right.
And the truth is, I can pull it off.
Well, yeah. But you have to. Otherwise, it stays on your head.
Right. But I wore it. I wore it last, I'm just moving on. I wore it last week or this past week for my softball game. And I came home and I told Kelly, it's a game changer. Now I know why every baseball player is wearing a little headband underneath their hat. Because
They wear it underneath their hat.
Yeah, so that's what I did. I wore it under the hat.
Does it change your hat size?
No. But what it does is it kept all my hair out of the way, and normally I'd be taking my hat off and brushing like my sweaty hair out of the way and stuff. And I didn't have to do that the entire game.
What is it made of? Is it just like a stretchy fabric? Is it cotton? Because it has to be sort of absorbent, right?
Yeah, it's absorbent. This, like, I came home and I had to throw it in the washing machine.
Of course.
With my clothes. Mm-hmm. But it does not say. It's some type of stretchy, like, spandex cotton.
Okay.
Something.
I really feel that in the near future, we must sell Still Talking sweatbands.
Rob, we now have Still Talking sweatbands.
You do?
We do.
That's great.
They are not the baseball player designed ones,
right?
That are like big in the front, and I don't know. They're the traditional sweatbands,
right.
But I added them this morning to the merch store. I haven't tried one out yet. It's the version that Printful offered, but it looks good, and I will be trying it out. Because I saw, out of silly things we talk about,
yeah,
multiple people emailed and requested a Still Talking sweatband. So you have to give the people what they want.
Well, they do. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize this, is even though we are a young podcast, we do have the sweatiest listeners of any podcast, except maybe for Mark Maron.
So here you go.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Here is a Still Talking sweatband.
Oh, I love it.
Headband.
Is it embroidered or screened? I can't tell.
It is screen printed.
Uh-huh.
Black with our logo all mm-hmm. over it.
Look how happy that lady is. She loves being a part of the
show.
She
loves it. So we do have that available on the Still Talking store.
And many other things you don't. You know, when I've seen in concert Herb Alpert of the Tijuana Brass. I've seen him in concert 3 times. Great. He's like 1,000 years old now, and he still sounds great. But when you go to like a pretty big venue, like the Strathmore in Bethesda,
yes.
A beautiful concert hall, and there'll be one small table for merch, and there's a sign, and it says, "Stuff you don't need, Herb Alpert." That's how he sells his merch, because he knows that, you know, it's just a cash grab.
Yeah.
So he doesn't necessarily want you to buy it. But I always thought that was funny.
But people want to buy it, so he makes money off it. Sure.
Yeah. I bought a t-shirt.
I
bought a Herb Alpert t-shirt.
Why not?
Of course. He is great, but you know what else is great is pizza. Do you have a favorite pizza? I'm curious.
I am a simpleton. Where is the best pizza you've ever had? It's got to be a little shop in New York City, right?
You know what? In New York, you know, every pizza place is the best pizza in New York. They all have the same names, and it's okay. But I did get one of the worst cases of food poisoning I've ever had buying a piece of pizza at a New York pizza shop. So I'm soured on that. I ate pizza and then went to a real it was still the WWF. I went to a WWF match at Madison Square Garden. I was out of my mind excited. I don't even like wrestling. And I started to feel sick.
No.
And yeah, and by the time I got back to the hotel, it was a disaster.
And, see, and I always think of pizza as you can leave it out all day. Who cares?
That's what I thought. Yeah,
so,
and it was no good. My favorite pizza, day in, day out, and has been for years, and I think our buddy Chad has even reviewed it on his show and gave it high marks, is in Leesburg. It's called La Villa Roma.
Okay.
And their crust is outstanding. Their sauce is on point. The cheese is great, and they deliver. It's just, I've been going there since 1993 or so. It's great.
Favorite pizza place just shut down. We had a place here called Pirate Pizza. And we loved it. It was great.
Pirate pizza.
Well, because it's St. Augustine, so we've got a little pirate stuff going on here.
I understand. But still, it's not exactly what we want.
But there's a place in downtown St. Augustine where all the tourists people go.
Right.
And it's called Pizza Time. And it's cash only. Except they just started offering credit cards.
Is it one of those joints where it costs extra to use a credit card?
Yes, yes. And we'll get to that.
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't want to read ahead.
No. But it's one of these places where when you go down during tourist season, there's a line out the door. It's like this buy the pizza, buy the slice. And it's all because they've got this giant sign outside.
Right.
And this sign inside the store.
Josh, come back.
Press the wrong button. They've got this sign inside the store. Have you tried America's best pizza? Ranked second best pizza in the United States by TripAdvisor.
Now that's, you know, first of all, the whole thing is misleading, because when you read the headline, have you tried America's best pizza? You're thinking this place is the best pizza.
100%.
But then it's down below. Oh, well, we're second best.
It's, you know, also...
We made the list, yeah.
It's also like a screenshot from the CNN website.
Right.
From the Best of Travel or something. Uh-huh. That they have printed out and hung up into this giant sign. And they have the sign outside the place, too. But this is the sign in the store I got the picture of. And
I'm trying to put it... It's like probably... 2 feet by 3 feet at least. I mean, it's a gigantic. Big sign, right?
It's gigantic. It's probably 3x5.
Okay.
But because it's a printout of like a CNN website, there's the little author tab up in the corner, which you can't make out in this photo, but I'll tell you that it says the date of this article is September 2011. So we're talking 15 years old. 15 years ago, they were ranked second best pizza in America.
I think that they have overstayed their welcome. And also, TripAdvisor is a fine website. I'm not bemoaning TripAdvisor, but that's not where I go for food reviews. I mean, if they said it was the second best hotel or second best train, I'd be okay with that.
It's probably where you went 15 years ago.
Well, I guess. But now, I suppose.
You know, and they always have a line. Rob, I went there. Here's what we purchased.
Okay.
Three slices of pizza.
Right. Decent size, not like huge, but probably like
normal
pretty big.
Pizzeria size.
Okay. All right.
All right. So three pieces of pizza, a salad, because I learned years ago that I don't like this pizza. It's overrated.
It's second best pizza in the world.
No,
in the world.
I wish I was here 15 years ago because it sucks.
Why is it bad? I mean, because even bad pizza is pretty good.
I mean, no, and that's the truth. You know what? It's my anger of this place because it's so overrated.
So you're letting your anger dictate your taste.
I got a salad because my anger of this pizza at this place has been going on for years.
Same way, but I won't eat New York pizza because I'm mad that I got poisoned once. Yeah.
But we were downtown. We took the kids downtown because September's the time to go because the tourists aren't here and they haven't started coming back for all the fall and Christmas stuff.
Now, is it not where the Fountain of Youth is, St. Augustine?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is right down the street from the Fountain of Youth.
See, people don't know that Josh is 108 years old.
Right, right.
But yes. Because of his proximity to the Fountain of Youth and Ponce de Leon, he stays young.
But so we go. We get this pizza because the kids want pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And what I know is this place is, and I say, oh, well, it's cash only. And then they have a sign on the door that they now take credit cards. So I was like, all right, fine. So here's what we got. Three slices of pizza,
Bing.
A salad.
Boom.
Four fountain drinks.
Boom.
And three garlic knots.
Mm-hmm.
How much will that cost you?
In a touristy town, let's see. The pizza is at least $7 a slice. Salad is $8. That's $29. Fountain drinks are $8. $30. And the garlic, I'd say it was
$48. $74.
That's too much.
It's more than eating out at a restaurant.
Yeah.
It drove me crazy because I then, after I pay, I find out the price of everything and it is $10 a slice.
Whoa.
It is $5 a drink. And it is then a fee on top of that to use my credit card, which you have to use because who carries around $70 in cash? I could get.
No one does. We live in a cashless society.
Yeah. I could get 6 Little Caesar pizzas for that price.
Yeah, and you know what?
No, a lot more. I think 12.
Yeah, you could probably buy a franchise of a Little Caesars for that money. That is unheard of. I wouldn't pay that for great pizza.
And it's not that good. It's overrated. Maybe they changed the recipe since 15 years ago. I'm sure they did because now they're buying bulk and making bulk because they get all these people coming.
I saw that in the photo you showed, there's like stacks of flour. They keep it sort of like almost like a Five Guys feel where the ingredients are stacked out in front.
Yes, where we sell so much stuff, we can't even store this in a closet.
The pizza closet.
Right.
Let's break it down. How is their crust? It's a thin crust pizza.
It's fine. It's fine. There's no flavor. It's fine.
Okay. The sauce is sweet.
The sauce is sweet. They say they bring in their tomatoes from Italy. They don't. They bring in like a paste from Italy or something. Because I didn't see any tomatoes. I saw lots of cans.
Hey, we got to use tomatoes. We put them in the back. It's the second best in the world.
The cheese is fine. The whole pizza is fine because it's hard to make bad pizza.
Yeah. Would you take the money out of it? How does it compare to, say, the pizza at Costco in the food court? Because you know what? For the amount of what slices, you pay, Costco pizza is pretty good.
The slices are about the same size.
Okay.
More cheese on the Costco pizza. Costco does a good job with a lot of cheese on their pizza.
They do. I love it.
So I would, but see, I can't take the price out of it because for the price of this, I could buy, eight. What's a Costco pizza? The whole pizza is like $10, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So I could get 7 of them.
But you got to take the price out. I just want to know flavor as far as presentation. So Costco's better.
Costco, they're different. Costco's heavier on the cheese and a thicker crust. This is more your pizzeria thin crust style.
Hey, ask me what time is it? Or time it is, I should say.
What time is it?
It's pizza time.
See, now they deserve a jingle.
No, pizza they don't. Time
is a good name for a jingle. It might, and I don't know how old this place is. Everybody around here loves this place. It sucks.
How about this?
And it's way too pricey.
Let me try this just for fun. Second best pizza in the world. It's pizza time.
See,
do you think that would make good business? Yeah. Okay, good.
But it should be second best pizza 15 years ago. Because if you Google search now, because Rob, I'm sitting there in this place.
Is it a Coke property?
Of course not. It's
Pepsi. You're kidding me.
Everything about this place sucks.
Oh my God. If someone charged me $5 for a Pepsi, I'd spit in their eye.
I'm sitting in this place and I finished my salad. Salad was fine, but it's hard to screw up a salad again.
Well, not lately. Not with the new viruses.
You're right. I didn't get food poison or whatever the latest
Cyclospora.
Virus is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I sat there and I am now on my phone in the restaurant trying to Google what the best pizza place is in America to see where this place even ranks. It's not even on any 2026 list.
Were you angry enough to leave a Yelp review? Because you've got the anger simmering right now.
I have not left a Yelp review. I've ever left a Yelp review. That's not a bad move.
But I mean, I've never been so grievously disappointed that I would do it. But yeah, I think this is the time to do it.
I kind of didn't want to. I didn't want to go into this place to begin with, because I was irritated with them knowing their pizza's overrated before.
Well, anytime I see a line out the window of something, a line out the door of a business that is not deserving. I used to see it every day when I drive downtown. Yeah. I would go on a side street to get to Podcast Village, and I would pass Georgetown Cupcakes. Which is a place that sells cupcakes.
Right.
That's it. Cupcakes. And there'd be a line out the door. And every day I just wanted to roll my window down and say, you're not helping yourself.
Yeah.
They sell cupcakes at a grocery store. Why do you have this much time?
Yes.
And it's never worth it.
Yeah. And if you're the best pizza in America, you don't have to put up a sign to tell people. I think of when I was in Italy, and I think I sent you a picture where I'm in a town square. And there's a store that has a big sign that says, World's Best Gelato.
Yes.
And right next to them is another store that sells gelato that says, World's Most Popular Gelato. And it's
Everybody. Yeah, you don't.
If it's that good pizza, people will talk about it.
It's marketing. It's, you know, but it's, you're right. It's embarrassing. You know what? It's embarrassing to have that. There is a place in Miami. And Kathy and I went there quite a few times when I was down there helping out with my dad. And make no mistake, it's fantastic. Really good. But their sign says, best cheeseburger in the world. I said, God,
why did it irritate me so much?
That's fantastic. We have got to go get this burger. And yes. Kathy says, well, they have sweet potato fries, so no matter what, we'll be okay. Because she's a sweet potato fry person. So we go there.
I hate sweet potato fries.
I do, too. I feel like I'm being tricked. But that's for a different time. So you get there, and it says, best cheeseburger in the world as voted by the people of Argentina.
You might as well say, my mom says.
Exactly. My mom thinks I'm handsome.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not trying to take anything. We've gone back. I've took Julia there when she was in Miami. It's a great place. But don't try to trick me. Don't do that.
No. No. Yeah. And it's all these things where they all have awards. How long can you lean on your best realtor in the county award or your best whatever award? How long can you as a business advertise that we're the best?
Your tune is going to change when we get best podcast in the world.
Yes,
from TripAdvisor.
No, but even when we are best podcast in the world, I think we can only hold that sign up for 1 year.
Yeah.
As soon
unless
as
we buy a jingle.
Declared,
we buy a jingle that says best podcast in the world. We make podcasts. Question, as a native of Arnold, Maryland, I think this will probably land
that, with you. That is my hometown.
Yes, I like to bring that up. How do you feel about Lido Pizza?
Rob.
Yes?
Lido Pizza is my favorite pizza in the entire world.
Fantastic. I'm very close to one here. I could write you a term paper on why it's great.
I think the people from Lido retired down here or something. Because there is a Lido Pizza in Daytona Beach.
You're kidding.
And it's about an hour drive. And every now and then, I will make the drive because it is my favorite pizza. You can't compare. It is something that I guarantee every time I am in Maryland or Virginia, I am eating Lido Pizza by myself somewhere.
I wish you have said that because we have one almost walking distance from my home. Across the street from Costco.
I probably left your house and went there and took it back to my hotel room.
The problem is that Lido does not deliver. And this was also a bigger problem when I was drinking because, you know, after 6 o'clock, I can't go out and do anything. I could do it now, but now I'm just lazy. So when I say my favorite pizza is at La Villa Roma, I'd say that that is my best delivery pizza. But there's just something so satisfying about the thin crust, square-pieced pizza with one thick slice of pepperoni on every piece.
Oh, I just get straight cheese. Because the tomato, their tomato sauce is so good.
It's the best. It is literally the best.
Yeah.
They should be selling that. They sell spaghetti sauce, but they should be selling their pizza sauce.
No, I had an issue probably about a year ago where I was back home and I said, I need Lido. So the Lido I always went to was in Severna Park. And I go and I drive over there and it's gone. It's
Why?
Not there. And I had a little panic. And then I found out they moved down the street. So I just had to go to the new location.
Barrister in the chat room says, if you're too drunk to walk across the street, you might be a redneck. Well, that's me. I'm sorry. Yeah. But yeah, it's fantastic. And the
Do they do DoorDash yet?
I'm sure they do, but I'm not paying those prices. When you get right down to it, I'm cheap.
I will also say Lido has the best salads.
Good salad.
Their,
and you know what?
Italian salad's extremely good. I like their creamy dressing.
Jimmy, turn down their podcasting machine for just a second. Their wings are excellent.
No, their wings are pretty good too.
Yeah, and not as good as Jimmy's, but then Jimmy's is a little further away. Yeah. And the secret about the pizza is, of course, the crust. It's made of Lido.
I don't know.
It's so good.
I don't know why. There's a lot of people that hate Lido.
I don't understand. Didn't they start like as students at the University of Maryland? I mean, it's definitely a Maryland-based business.
It's a local business. I do enjoy that the franchise down here in Daytona, like if I go down, what am I saying? When I go down this afternoon to pick up a pizza,
right?
It will come in a Ravens or an Orioles box. They'll put the big logo on there, which I enjoy.
Well, I'm sure that if it's franchise, they probably, if they're going to buy 100,000 Orioles boxes in the center of Florida as well.
When I managed a company down here, the company was down in Ormond Beach, which is right next to Daytona. And it's probably technically where the Lido is. So I would take the sales staff over to Lido for our sales meetings. And I would just sit there, and they have Ravens memorabilia and the Maryland flag and the Orioles stuff up.
You feel like you're at home.
I feel like I'm at home. And these guys are like, this isn't that great pizza. It's, to me, it's home.
It is great. Lido. Jackson, H1H4W, says in the chat room, he managed a brick oven pizza Italian restaurant, and they would pay a magazine or digital provider to be ranked best pizza.
Oh,
in the county.
You have to. We get those emails all the time as podcasters of, would you like to pay $400 to be considered for this podcast award that you've never heard of?
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
No, if my pizza is that good, I shouldn't have to pay someone to write about it.
Before we talk about our plans for the weekend, and we are having a weekend together.
Yeah,
it's going to be beautiful.
I guarantee we're going to have some pizza.
I was going to say...
Corolla pizza is pretty good.
Well, I mean, Carrie and I were talking about what might be a good host gift or hostess gift to bring. And I said, well, we could go to Costco and get Josh a pack of hot dogs. He'd probably love it. But now I'm thinking we should stop at Lido and bring you a large pie. Because, I mean, it would be 6 hours old, but we could heat it.
Oh, I will take that. And some of the creamy Italian dressing.
Okay,
They sell it in the big jar.
Okay, then you know what? You've got yourself a deal. You've got yourself some pizza on the way. You know, go ahead.
Well, I didn't want to plan on spending an hour talking about pizza. But
we only did 40 minutes.
All right, but do you guys have up there the Your Pies? Do you have a Your Pie where they make a little personal pie in front of you? And it's like Subway or Mod Pizza where it's
that's
like,
got to be horrible.
It's like Subway for pizza. And you go down the thing and they're like, do you want cheese? What toppings do you want? You put it on and it makes little personal pizzas. No good. Overrated. Yeah. Another place where the kids love and it's not that good.
Well,
and it's
too expensive. You know what? Kids love, what is that place? It's Cold Stone Creamery. Because it's all about the show and it's too expensive and it's horrible.
You don't know how many times we've talked about how we don't like Cold Stone. We don't like their ice cream and the kids like it. We constantly try to point the kids. How about Jeremiah's instead, which is in the same shopping center, which is Arita's like place.
Yeah, they like the show. And we had in the chat room, someone said that the best pizza in the world is on the boardwalk at the Jersey Shore. And I'm not going to dispute that. Oh. I grew up as a kid eating Max Pizza, which was, I mean, there's such a cash grab. Very little cheese, very little sauce, but it was just great. So yeah, pizza is regional and you just got to find your favorite place.
What's the pizza place that's all over like the Ocean City Boardwalk?
Dough Roller?
Dough Roller. Yeah, that's Dough Roller. Whenever I think of beach pizza, I think of Dough Rollers.
Well, yeah, then you're thinking wrong.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's good.
Yeah.
It's pizza time would fit right in. It's overrated touristy stuff.
Hey, Josh, what time is it?
Pizza time.
Exactly. We mentioned Carrie earlier about the trip down. I've got a comment. She's doing a side hustle. That's sort of a side hustle I want to talk about. But, you know, I was talking to Carrie this morning, and she's getting ready to go to school and teach. And she pops in her mouth a Soul gummy. Now, not a THC one. She's not going to go to work and be
the
high.
Mood ones.
The mood ones.
I grab a mood one every morning now. I grab the Uplift, which is like it really does give you a little energy burst, and it just makes me happy to come in.
Does it make you talk about pizza you hate?
No, perhaps it might give me the energy to complain about that pizza, but it does. It makes me feel more like joyful or something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it definitely works, and it's, you know, balance is the key to life, and Soul has nailed it with their new mood gummies. If you need a pick me up, a wind me down, or something right in the middle, Soul has a gummy for every moment. Uplift, as Josh was just talking, it brings bright, social, energetic, like a buzz, perfect for daytime plans or beating the afternoon slump. If you're ready to shut it down, Mellow is great for a cozy night, kicking back and unplugging. Or Balance gives an easy, versatile feel, really nice when you're listening to your favorite podcast, like this one.
It's great.
It makes us much funnier. Three moods, three perfectly crafted formulas, same great taste. Whatever mood you're in, Soul has a gummy for it. Both Josh and I love them, and my wife too. Two thumbs way up. And people don't talk about this. Soul gummies taste great.
If
I didn't know that they were medicinal in their nature, I could eat a bag of them. But then I'd have to take a day off.
I could totally eat the entire tin. They're wonderful. And we had the founder or CEO of Soul on TMOS a few weeks ago to talk about like the federal law and them shutting things down in November. That has now been delayed until December.
Good.
So they can try to come up with a deal to work it out to keep it just straight legal.
Just in time for Christmas. Look out, kids. Your stockings are going to be full of THC.
2-year shelf life, so feel free to keep sending me those Soul gummies.
Stock them up, exactly. Soul is a wellness brand that makes delicious hemp-derived CBD and THC products designed to make feeling good simple. The mood gummies, I love this. They have precise dosing so you know exactly what you're going to get. Clean ingredients and formulations designed for predictable effects so you can choose how you want to feel while staying in control. You can make today a good day every day by getting yourself Soul gummies. And right now, Soul is offering our audience 30% off your entire order. Go to getsoul.com, G-E-T-S-O-U-L, getsoul.com, and use the code TMOS. That is spelled T-M-O-S. That's getsoul.com, promo code TMOS for 30% off. And thank you, Soul. When they signed up with us, I didn't think they were going to be a longtime client. And they've turned out to be not only a longtime client, but really good friends.
Oh, they are my favorite. And as long as the law changes and they get all that straight, I'm sure Soul will stay with Still Talking in the new year.
Unless, and if they don't, they're going to have, we'll move to Mexico where we can sell it.
No.
We'll get one of those big flamethrower signals.
Right, right. I will start selling you my extra as I fill my garage up with 2 years worth of gummies.
Exactly. It's going to look like those bags of flour at pizza time. You're just going to have big 50-pound sacks of gummies.
Yep, I'm going to be the Walter White of gummies.
Josh, what time is it?
It's pizza time.
Exactly. And that's why I want to talk about this. Carrie, my wife, and this will maybe shock you, because every time I run the numbers in my head, it shocks me. This October, we will be married 30 years. Not just dating, but married.
Yeah, that is forever.
That is forever. Believe me, it seems it, but it's a long time. Anyway, she teaches special ed for Loudoun County, as does my son.
That's how she's made it 30 years.
Well, that's how actually being married to me for 30 years gave her the ability to deal with the differently abled. It was right, just dealing with me.
Yeah,
the
it patience, goes both ways.
Yeah, the weird tics, all that stuff.
Yeah, the snacks.
It's funny you bring that up. She does a couple things for the county, like side hustles. Like, for example, now that it's the fall, Friday night she'll sell tickets for the football game. Easy gig. You know, you sit in the booth and you sell the tickets. And you hang out with
other teachers or moms.
Exactly.
Or
and the gossip is red hot in the ticket booth. Make no mistake. They talk.
Well, yeah, because they also get to see the other parents and they see the kids.
Yep.
So there's different things to talk about. Yeah, I get it.
Plenty to talk about. So today is the first day she is, I don't know if you would call it overseeing, or you don't host it, proctoring detention.
Okay, all right. So she is
the lady that after school you have to sit with, right?
Okay.
And I imagine you were probably a pretty well-behaved kid in school.
Yeah, I think for the most part, I don't remember ever getting detention.
Okay, I
remember
detention.
It being threatened, but I've never gotten detention.
I got it plenty. Now, I was...
Yeah, because you can't shut that mouth up.
I can't shut up. That's the problem. I mean, and my teachers ultimately liked me because I was enthusiastic. Mm-hmm. And I did the work and all that stuff. I'm doing the work, Doc. I am. But I would get detention. And I remember detention was mostly for me middle school. After school, you'd have to go to the library and wait there for 55 minutes or whatever. And then there was a late bus that would take you home.
Okay.
Okay. So we weren't allowed to do anything but sit there. We could do homework. We couldn't read for pleasure. We could not talk.
Right.
Could not watch television or anything like that. Obviously, we couldn't use our phones because we didn't have them back then.
Yeah, we didn't have phones.
But it was genuinely a punishment. And
So
Carrie's talking about this first time she's doing detention, and I said, do you have a plan? And because I don't know how you do it.
I think you just instantly go to the Breakfast Club. You just have to watch these kids just sit around.
Exactly. And I would be Anthony Michael Hall. That's the tragic thing of it all. She said, I spoke yesterday with the lady who established the program who's no longer doing it. And she said, they're not allowed to use their phones. I said, well, that makes sense. She said, they can talk.
What?
They can read. They can do whatever they... And then Carrie said... Then the lady talked to me about what are the best snacks to provide. And I said,
wait, you
hold
have to provide
it.
Snacks for the kids?
You have this to is, provide snacks for the kids that this, are in detention?
This is not detention. This is after school care.
I said, I would go to that detention maybe not for like orange slices, but for Doritos, maybe? Yeah. Laffy Taffy? I'd go to detention for that.
Can they listen to music? They can't use their phone. Can they put their AirPods in?
Well, you know what? I think letter of the law, they can't, but you know they are. Because you put in one earbud and you turn away from... I mean, in my day, you had the little white earbud that was connected to a transistor radio that if you put in your ear and looked the other way, teacher wouldn't see it.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, now it's even easier.
Or what I would do is you have the little corded and you run it up your sleeve so that it's right here on your wrist. So then you're just leaning on your...
Oh, that's excellent.
That was a great way to listen to the ball game.
Also, you look like you're in the Secret Service because you can talk into your cup.
Well, you look like you're completely bored.
Yes.
But you've got Fred Manfred in your ear.
So I'm really wondering if this detention is doing anybody any good except for Carrie, who gets to bill the county for more money.
No, that is not detention. That has ruined detention. Those kids learn. What's the lesson? The lesson is that you have to, what's the punishment? You have to get home from school 45 minutes later?
I guess the punishment is the consequence of having to sit in a room. But no, I mean, let's say you got detention.
Yes.
And you'd be on me, you say, Rob, you got to get detention too because I want someone to talk to today.
And bring a microphone because we got to knock out an episode.
We could do detention talking.
Yes.
But that genuinely troubled me.
You know what my biggest frustration with it is as you present it?
Yeah.
Is it's not a punishment on the kid. It's a punishment on the parent. The parent now has to rearrange their schedule. The parent has to deal with it, not the kid.
Well, it's also bad for Carrie because I don't even know what snack she brought. I said bring stuffed peppers, something no one likes.
Oh, I like the idea of it being a punishment. Like you punish them through the snack.
Okay,
I like that. Here's your snack, and it's like some like super spicy thing that you didn't give them a heads up on,
or something that only old people would eat,
or.
Like spinach
or mood gummies because they think it's a snack.
No,
the real punishment is in 90 minutes when it kicks in when they're out of your classroom.
Well, when they're home, they're like, Mom,
I guess that'd be drugging your kids. So, don't do that.
That would be what we call illegal.
Yes.
Can't do that. But I tell you what, if you did give them the out of office gummies, they would really enjoy the snacks.
Yes, which is why I went and purchased new Oreos.
Oh, tell me about these. You have new flavors.
There are new flavors of Oreos. And let's see, I think I downloaded
Nodak them. Just says carrot sticks. I think that'd be good.
Carrot sticks? I send carrots. I send little baby carrots in my kids' lunches.
I love
carrots.
My kids
are in middle school.
Yeah, Mike hates all vegetables. Yes.
I was at Publix yesterday, and they've got new Oreos. Banana pudding, chicken and waffles, and deep-fried Oreos.
Okay, can I give you my knee-jerk reaction to these flavors?
Of course.
Chicken and waffles is a misstep, because that is when you have chicken and waffles together, and trust me, it can be delicious, you're not just dealing with flavor, you're dealing with texture.
100%.
And an Oreo is just a cookie.
Yes.
So I have to give that a thumbs down before you review it. Banana pudding is a perfect use of the Oreo format because you've got the crunch that simulates the vanilla wafer, then you've got the cream filling that simulates the banana. I bet it's 100% great. Also, there's something magical about fake banana flavoring. It doesn't really taste like banana, but it's great. It's a great, like grape soda. It doesn't taste like grapes, but it tastes great. Deep fried Oreos, no, because that is a theme park go-to for me. And one of the joys of it is that Oreos are so full of chemicals and crap that when they are deep fried, they almost dissolve into like a fudge.
Yes, exactly.
So I will give thumbs up to the banana, thumbs down to chicken and waffles and fried Oreos. You said you tried two of them.
Yeah, because it's Publix and Publix always has their BOGO deals.
Publix is a great outfit. They do the BOGOs.
Yeah. I grabbed some Oreos, weighed myself on the out. And it's all good.
You know, I'm curious. But they've got great sub sandwiches. Do they do pizza?
So they just opened up a new Publix, and I happened to go to the new Publix.
Yeah,
because
of course.
I like grocery stores just like
it's you. Shiny. Yeah.
And they opened up the new one, and I was driving past it, so I went inside, and I was impressed because this one had fresh pizza, which mine does not.
Uh huh.
So I was like, well, that's impressive. So then I did my shopping. I got in line. And the guy in front of me was checking out with a deli burrito.
How did it look?
I was really impressed. It looked so good.
Wow.
It was like Chipotle size burrito. But at Publix. So it has been on the list since yesterday to go back there for lunch.
We don't have Publix up here. I do really like them. What we have up here that is a little harder to find, but I like the outfit a lot. And I like being an old man and saying it's a great outfit. Harris Teeter.
Yes.
Is a great grocery store. But they have a great hot prepared food section, including like almost like a kiosk where they will have 10 or 11 or 12 different kinds of pizza that you can buy by the slice. They even have 7-Eleven styled triangle boxes.
Yes, that's
to
what
buy
the
your
Publix
piece
has,
of pizza.
The triangle
yeah.
boxes.
And it's pretty good. And yeah. it's not pizza time pizza.
No,
it's
no.
different.
I'm
so
sure
I'm
it's
curious
fine.
Your take.
I do like Harris Teeter. Harris Teeter is my grocery store in the Outer Banks.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And so do you like the fact that you don't have to take the stuff out of the cart when you go to check out? Or is that not the policy?
Not
the one in Lansdowne, which is one made-up city east of me,
right?
You just pull your cart up, and they unload it and check it and bag it for you, so you never have to touch them.
Okay, kind of like going to Costco.
Yeah. Well, if you get a good courtesy
employee.
Clerk. At Costco. So, yeah, that's, I mean, all the hot, you know what? You also get a lot of hot foods at buffets. And there's going to be plenty of buffets on our final voyage when we take the cruise. And that is January, is it 21st?
January 21st.
Okay. We will be taking the cruise on January 21st. And it's going to be really cool. I'll go so far as to say it might be a little bittersweet because it's going to be weird that it is the last Mike O'Mara show.
It's going to be very, it's going to be very weird.
Yeah.
And it's going to be one of those weird things where I was even when talking to Margaritaville, trying to plan out like, all right, what day are we going to do the live show?
Right.
What day are we going to do the, because normally we do a meet and greet at the beginning. And then I was like, well, actually we should probably do the meet and greet at the end so we can take like goodbye pictures and stuff.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So
it would be great to do, like, if we could, wherever they put the show, if we could have that space for 2 hours after the show as well, because everyone will be there anyway.
Well, I think what we'll do It'll is we'll just pill, no, because we'll spill into a bar afterwards.
Okay.
We'll pick a spot for the after party.
And that's where Mike will drum with the band?
I'm not having that call. But they did ask me yesterday,
yeah,
do we want a retirement cake?
Oh, 100%.
I think we do.
Yes.
So
and you know
I'm
what?
Getting the price on that.
See if you can do like two layers, like a wedding cake. Something really grand. Yeah. Even if it's a little extra, I think, you know, Mike has earned it. 41 years in the business or however long it's been.
Right.
It's been a while.
But no, hopefully people come and join us.
We'd love that. It's a great time to lock in your rate now.
I heard they're running out of balcony rooms.
And it really is a piece of radio history. I've listened to this show in its all its iterations as long as any listener has. And to know that gone are the days that the Mike O'Mara show or any iteration of it is just Mike won't be on the radio anymore is weird. So be there and be with us for the last one. We've spent years making this show, and now we want to make one last memory together. We really do want you there. And it's not like we're asking a big ask because keep in mind, it's a cruise ship, and we're going to Cozumel in the middle of winter. You're not going to have a bad time. And by the way, I hear the cheeseburgers are great, I hear. I've watched a lot of videos about the Margaritaville boats. Ships.
Well, yeah. Yeah. So some cheeseburgers in paradise.
You know what? That might be the relation right there. But anyway, so that's the cruise. Make sure you come along. We would really, really love to see you. We'll provide snacks. And you can't use your phone.
No. But go on over and book your cruise today. Call 1-800-814-7100 and use the group code 4435 so they know you're with TMOS.
And get ready to have a blast. It's going to be fun. There are so many great TMOS regular listeners and irregular listeners that have signed up. If you've never done an event, even if you've gone to like the live shows, this cruise is a whole new dynamic because you're in a, I don't want to make it sound limiting, but you're in an enclosed environment, like a biosphere. And everywhere you look is going to be someone you love.
Yeah.
So it's fun.
It's also weird because it's kind of, it's closure for TMOS and it's really the kickoff launch of Still Talking.
Yeah.
So it's a weird.
We want to see you there.
I hope
it'd be very, very important.
But Rob.
Yeah.
Don't you want to know which Oreo I had?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I can't, but you know what? You see, here's my problem. I'm not linear. We didn't do a payoff. So yeah, please.
So I decided that the chicken and waffles were the ones I would pass.
Good.
Because
I think even if they're great, they're going to suck.
No, because banana pudding That just makes sense for an Oreo, especially when they're doing the vanilla cookie instead of the chocolate cookie.
Precisely.
And then deep fried Oreos, I like you. That is something I grab at every carnival I go to. If I'm somewhere and there's a food truck with deep fried Oreos,
you got to do it. Yeah, I can tell you all the places at KD that has them.
Well, the best, be great.
your best place.
If you remember,
I
tried to order deep fried Oreos at KD, and they wouldn't give them to me with the free ban we had for food.
Exactly.
They
well,
were
I don't think
not qualified.
I don't think fried Oreos technically qualify as food.
As food, right?
That's the problem.
So.
Maybe like a medicine. I don't know what it is.
So the banana pudding ones, you talk about that fake banana taste.
Yeah.
That's great. It works.
The banana flavor
tastes like a Laffy Taffy banana.
That's great. You know what I was saying? Also, I probably am outaging you here. There was something that used to be called a banana flip, which was sort of like a taco, like a Twinkie, but a taco.
Yes.
And the filling had that fake banana flavor. And it was great with strawberry milk.
The fake banana works. So the banana one creams, they just work. It's simple.
Okay.
The deep fried Oreos.
Yeah.
First bite.
Can you bring up the photo again? Because it looked like there was multi-layers to that.
They all are multi-layer. So if you look, the banana pudding is a yellow and a white layer.
Okay. So I guess the white in the banana pudding is meringue?
I think it's just a standard Oreo cream.
Okay.
But you can see on the... Deep fried Oreos, even in the packaging, they show you how there's two layers of fudge with the Oreo cream in the middle.
Right.
First bite, you're like, oh, this doesn't taste like deep fried Oreos. Mm-hmm. It's not bad. But then you take another Oreo and you realize it tastes exactly like deep fried Oreos.
Now, I'm shocked as I look at it that the cookie on deep fried Oreo is a blonde cookie.
Yes.
What if you put the chocolate Oreo cookie?
It wouldn't work.
Really? Okay. Describe to me why it works.
Because
it doesn't seem like it should.
The way it works is that chocolate fudge in the middle tastes exactly like how an Oreo melts when you deep fry it. So the blonde works as that cake batter on the outside where it tastes so much like deep fried Oreos that I ate that entire pack and didn't share any for the kids.
Wow.
I ate the entire little package, and I know Oreo packages are getting smaller.
Sure,
but I ate the whole thing in one sitting.
Did you have milk or anything with it, or how did you? You didn't have like an energy drink, yeah?
No. I had a lemonade,
chocolate and lemonade.
Well,
around the corner, fudges made something like that.
It was a THC lemonade.
Oh well, that's why you ate the entire package of M&M. Yeah. Well, you have sold me on the banana ones, and
the banana ones are good.
I will try the fried ones.
Are amazing.
Watch your mail for a thank you note from my doctor as I try to get my blood sugar balanced. Oh. Because once I eat a banana one, I'm gone.
I am hoping to find these at the Harris Teeter in Kerala, North Carolina this weekend when we head up there.
Yeah, and of course, tell the pizza guy to get bent because I got a friend coming home from Lido. That'll be great.
right, yeah. No need for that.
So, as we know, there are not many good things to watch on TV. I know you started to watch a series last night.
Yeah, I did.
Prepare your jingle. I wanted to tell you really how boring I can be. Is one of the things I will do is I have YouTube TV, but sometimes I just go to YouTube and see what, you know, use the, what is it, the algorithm to see whatever. And last night it recommended a documentary on the building of the Library of Congress, the actual building. I said, you know what? I loved National Treasure. It's a great movie.
It is a great movie, both of them, really.
And one time when I watched it, I was watching it with my buddy John, who actually worked at that time at the Library of Congress.
Okay.
And I said, what is your title there? And he said, well, I'm the Librarian of Congress. And I always thought it was a joke. So I'm watching this doc, and there is a Librarian of Congress. There's a guy. He was appointed by Reagan. He's still there. So I took a picture of him with his super out front that says, you know, like Josh Sroka, Librarian of Congress, or whatever his name is. And I sent it to John. I said, you lied to me. This guy has your job. He says, I've met that guy. That guy is responsible for every book in the world. He hates technology and he won't use email. So
that is what I want from the guy who's going to run the Library of Congress.
But
I want a guy who lives by the Dewey Decimal System.
You know, they still have, even though they've been digitizing all their content since 1982, yeah, I think they said.
You still have to keep the system.
They have all the card catalogs still. Like
that's
miles
awesome.
Do you know that they have, I think I got this right, 65 miles of shelves, 65 miles of shelves just for books and the world's largest collection of flutes. You didn't know that.
I did not know that. I've never been to the Library of Congress.
After watching this documentary, Gummy Free, once again, I may actually go. I did the research. You can get a reader's card if you're over 16. It's free. And you can sit in that big reading room in the Jefferson Building, like you saw in,
right.
in the movie, National Treasure, and they'll bring you a book. And you can sit there and read it. It comes up on a conveyor belt. How great is that?
That's pretty cool because you can't check books out from the Library of Congress,
no,
right?
No, but you can steal them.
No,
it's just
no,
not recommended.
Don't do that.
They have five instruments that are Stradivarius, two violins, two violas, and a cello. They've got everything. It's just crazy. And also they showed us books that have been attacked by bookworms. And really, they just go in and eat the books. I don't know why I found it as entertaining as I did. I'm sorry. But I want to do that.
How long was this documentary?
It was 48 minutes. And also, if you watch it, it's on the, I think it's a History Channel show, but it was on YouTube. It's called Modern Marvels.
Okay.
If you watch it, you will be fascinated. As Elvis would say, it will fascinate you. But you will also notice that the audio is not synced with the video, which made me crazy.
I hate that.
I do not like it. But
no.
So I think if you, the next time you come up to DC, let's do a field trip to the Library of Congress. I mean, I'm a lifelong DC guy, and the number of historic buildings I've been to is small.
I like the idea of you and I doing a museum tours. We started with the Udvar-Hazy.
Yeah.
Now we do the Library of Congress, and we work our way through DC.
Exactly. And then eventually we'll go to London and Madame Tussauds Wax Museum. Do you have your what we're watching stage?
Oh, yeah. I've got it. Let's see. I don't know which is the bad one and which is the worst one.
Well, they're both
great.
Let's
see which one this is.
What are you watching?
It's so bad. Rob, we are not using it beyond this episode.
I want to make that my ringtone.
What are you watching?
It's really, you know what? That's AI really phoning it in.
It is. It is real bad.
They're not even trying anymore.
So we started a new show last night,
uh-huh.
You know, since I wasn't allowed to watch Coyote versus Acme, which is what I really wanted. So
you're gonna love it. If it happens that we want to watch it again while we're together this weekend, it'll be my third time. I'm in. I'll watch it a third time.
All right. There's a chance of that.
Yeah.
So we flipped on over to Hulu.
Yeah,
because I guess Kelly's been getting ads or TikTokers or something talking about a new show called Furious.
Now, I'm guessing if I had to cancel a streamer, we discussed this week, first to go would be Peacock.
Correct.
But then I think Hulu would be next, based only on the fact that they're not currently running new episodes of Only Murders in the Building. So did you get Hulu as part of a package, or did you specifically grab Hulu?
Hulu is one that is in Kelly's name.
Okay.
There's very few that are in her name, so I don't know where it comes from.
All right.
But it's there.
Mm-hmm.
I've canceled Peacock as soon
did
as
did Hulu the, come as, with the marriage?
It did.
Yeah.
It did.
I
come
had
with
a cat
the
like that. Yeah.
Peacock I canceled. Disney Plus I canceled. And I'll turn Disney Plus on occasionally when I need it.
I will do that. They've got so much great Beatles content on Disney Plus. I hate that's one of the things that makes me, but sometimes I just want to watch it.
If my kids were younger and watching Disney movies all the time, I'd keep it. I think it's great for that. It's just, it doesn't have the new content for me. Apple TV has turned into one of my favorites. Seems like every show they do is good.
Rewinding for a second to Disney, doesn't Disney have every comic book movie? Don't they have all the Marvel movies?
They do.
So that's not enough to keep you there?
Rob, I think I also own every comic book movie.
Okay, but not in physical media.
Not in physical form.
Okay.
So we started a show last night.
That's everything I hate. The fact that not only are you wasting time with comic book movies, but you're not even getting them in physical media.
No.
That really irks me.
No, there is a package for Hulu with Disney Plus and ESPN Plus and all that.
Right.
But I don't think I have that. But we started this show on Hulu called Furious.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, we've watched two episodes in, and so far it's a recommendation.
Okay.
It is a FBI agent who's a former cop who's trying to take down like a serial killer in New York. And because it seems to be a female serial killer, no one really cares about taking her down.
Is she in real? Do they reveal who the killer is, and then you get to see him? So is she a teacher or a nurse? She's a lady.
Right, right. Yes, she kills everyone in the kitchen.
That's right. But exactly.
It does a pretty good storytelling style where it is showing you the killer and the cop back and forth. Like, same time of day, here's what the killer's doing, while this is what the cop's doing.
Oh, I like that.
Or the FBI agent. So they're going back and forth. So it's
almost good. like 24, when they would do it totally in linear sequence like that?
I think so. I'm only two episodes in, and I never watched 24. But I think it's in sequence like that, because as they switch between, you'll notice, like, well, it's the same time of day.
Right.
Between the two clips. So it appears it's happening at the same time.
Any stars in it that we would know?
The star is Emmy Rossum.
Oh, what do I know her from?
Shameless.
Shameless. She's really appealing. I like her.
So she is the star, she's the star agent, FBI agent.
Oh, I thought she was going to be the murderer.
No, the murderer is Lola Pettigrew.
And I don't know.
I looked at what she was in, and I don't recognize anything that she has been in.
All I know is this, is her name was Lola. She was a showgirl. With faded feathers in her hair and a dress cut down to there. It's the first time on this show we've quoted Barry Manilow.
But
it's not a we, it's a me.
Yes. But normally I'll come in here and I'll recommend like a comedy or something that's funny. This isn't a comedy. It's serious.
Did it hold your focus?
But it's thriller. It's like a thriller style. And it held my focus that it was really like we would have watched more episodes if it wasn't past midnight and a school day.
Rolando, thank you for the jewels. Now, if you watch a show that is more you than Kelly, and I mean, these happened, and there's shows that are more Kelly than you, I'm sure. Does she ever get lost in her phone while you're watching
something? All the time. But we also, and same thing, I'll do that all the time on these dating shows where I get lost. And then there's other shows where she'll just straight tell me, I'm not going to watch that with you. Watch it on your own time.
Does she? That's funny. That is funny. But so you were both into this? She wasn't on her phone?
No, there was so much going on this phone, on this show, that we both put our phones down because we had to follow along.
Well, you know what? If you have no phones, you might as well be in detention.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. I recommend this show because it engages us enough that we put our phones down.
That's pretty good. Now I'm peeved I don't have Hulu.
Well, it's you're going to have to get Hulu to check out Furious.
I'm wondering, he said in a sort of coded way, if there are other servers that have it. Have you checked?
I 100% am sure you could find them somewhere else.
Sure.
If you know
why
the right
not?
People, or you could share a Hulu password. Who knows? I don't know how these things work.
Rob at MikeOMaraShow.com. If you want to be my Hulu buddy,
right,
hook me up.
So
I've become
Furious.
That disc jockey now. No, you know what? Don't do that.
No. We can pay the $10 for 1 month, watch the whole season, and then cancel it.
That's the way. And then with the money you save, become a founder.
I've been thinking about these streaming services and how we're all tired that we're paying for 50 of them now. And I really think the only way to teach these people a lesson is as soon as the show you're watching is over, cancel the subscription and prepare to renew every time there's a new show. Because it's a pain, but how else do you teach them? They'll get the idea that, we don't have enough content or we're charging too much.
I used to do that based on The Sopranos on HBO. I'd subscribe for like 6 months a year and then cancel it.
Now, that's the downside is HBO, they could get away with that because they would drag the episodes out for 6 months.
Exactly.
So you pay half a year.
And plus you got Arliss, the Robert Wool show.
These streamers that want to send out 10 episodes all at once, learn your lesson. If people, but don't stop doing that. I like it when you do that.
And there Joel Rosenbaum.
There is no streaming service for Coyote and Acme.
But it's out there.
Yes. Or you get a nice screener copy because
as a member of
Entertainment is desperate to get people to talk about it. But I would actually
as a member of the Academy. I would see it in a theater too. But just watch it. It's good.
Yeah,
it's good. You will get a new appreciation for the character of the coyote, and also Josh, I think you'll like this because the coyote does not talk. He speaks with signs, as they often do in the cartoons. So funny. It's really good. I love
that. That's how I'm going to do next week's podcast. I'm just going to hold up signs the whole time. It won't work in audio form at all.
But the video will be great. And you know what else is great, Joel? If you really want to see Coyote versus Acme, they'll be showing it this week at detention. All you have to do is misbehave at the high school in Loudoun County, and there'll be popcorn and drinks. So good. Remember, Still Talking, that's TALKIN, stilltalkinpodcast.com.
Yes.
Can check everything out and still become a founder.
We have 108 founding members. Thank you, Wes.
Oh, that's awesome. We're now off the FM dial. The numbers are too big. And remember, once you join and become a founder, you're that number for the rest of your life. And we can just call each other by your number. Like, if I see Joel Rogers, I'll go, hey, 69, what's up? What's up?
I don't think he's 69.
I think he might be. Oh, you know what? He might be 67. 6'7".
I don't. There's too many for me to quickly scan to see what people's numbers are.
Great problem to have. Joel Rosenbaum is 56. So, yo, 56, what up?
You can click on the Hall of Fame at stilltalkingpodcast.com to see your number or anyone else's number.
And remember, the Hall of Fame is still being curated.
Always.
So you can earn your entrance.
Right.
Well, this has been Still Talking 001. I call it a success. I mean, we filled the time, right?
I think we flew by. This hour, 20 minutes flew by for me.
I love it. It was because of all the jingles, I think.
Oh, 100%.
We got a bonus show for you tomorrow. Oh.
What are you watching?
You're watching this podcast.
Yes.
And also this Friday, based on some positive feedback on the Dolly Show, another Rob Radio for TMOS Classic this week. So check that out.
And TMOS producers, you'll get an email, but we're moving you to Saturday instead of Friday.
As soon as all the cartoons are done on TV, you'll be joining that time with us. All right, Josh, thank you.
Of course. Thank you, Rob.
See you again. We'll see you on Monday. Bye.
Rob Spiewak. Josh Spiewak.